Merry Christmas.
Or
I guess maybe I should say Merry Christmas Eve morning or something like that. But this is definitely the beginning of our celebration of Christmas. It's kind of fun when Christmas Eve lands on a Sunday because we kind of get to do that over 2 days and kind of 2 full days instead of sort of just a evening and a morning kind of thing. The Lord says to my Lord, the Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the Nativity of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the point of a prophecy? Well, maybe before we get into what the point or the purpose of a prophecy is, we should start with what a prophecy is at all. Like, what even is it? And at its most basic, simple level, A prophecy is a message from God. And it's a message from God that is almost always delivered through a messenger. So, all right, prophecy is a message from God. So then, what is a prophecy not? What isn't a prophecy? Well, a prophecy doesn't always have to be about the future. It often is, but it doesn't have to be, necessarily. But even more importantly than that, a true prophecy, a true message from God, is never false or wrong. So then, what is the point of a prophecy? Again, on the most basic level, its point is to get a message from God to the people. And this message is almost always meant to reveal something to us. Oftentimes, it reveals something about what's going on during that time. But it also reveals something about God's character to us. You get to know God more when he sends you a message. Which then brings us to some of the future prophecies in the Bible. Because one of the standout things about our God, one of his character traits, you could even say, is that our God is a promise keeper. Our God keeps his promises. When a prophecy is of the future, then that is a promise that God is making. And it is a promise that God will fulfill. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but one of the prevailing traits of the myths and the legends and the fairy tales of our world is that in general, the supernatural world is fickle and untrustworthy. Many times when you think of the fairy tales, and when you think of, for instance, the stories of the Greek gods and things like that, the warning of many of these, the kind of the hidden message there, is that you shouldn't trust the spirits. Because they are, by their very nature, untrustworthy. The reason that you don't want to deal with fairies in all of these tales is because they're tricky. And because they're going to try and trick you, and they're going to lie to you, and they're going to try and trap you. And so the point of many of these stories is to try and help us to understand that, well, if you want to get something out of the supernatural world, that you kind of have to trick them. You have to outwit them, or you have to maybe kind of trap them in their words, or something like that. Somehow or another, you have to kind of force your will against theirs and win. Because otherwise, they're not going to help you. Otherwise, they're only going to hurt you. That's what most of the myths and legends of our world seem to teach. And yet, that is a reflection more of who we are, and, to be fair, of the demons and the devil, who are absolutely like that, than it is of God. Think about our God. Think about how God reveals himself, how God acts in the Bible, and even in the world around us. And it will become clear that our God is the truth speaker. Our God has never spoken a falsehood or a lie. Admittedly, sometimes it feels like that. Sometimes it feels like God might be tricking us. Sometimes it feels like God is perhaps lying to us, especially when we're kind of waiting him to fulfill a promise, and it seems like it's just not happening. It seems like it's taking forever. That can sometimes make us feel as if God isn't being faithful. But in the end, Everything he speaks is true. In the end, every promise that God has made, he's followed up on. He is the promise keeper. Our God is not fickle or untrustworthy. Again, it sometimes feels that way. But our feelings don't always tell us the truth. Our God keeps the promises that he makes to us. And that's why in Matthew here in our reading for today, Matthew makes a big deal of it that Jesus is fulfilling this prophecy. And this prophecy is a big deal, right? Women do not just randomly become pregnant. That's not how that works. A virgin cannot become a mother. By definition, it just doesn't happen. It is, in fact, impossible to happen. And yet, that is the promise that God gave. That is the sign that God gave. And we hear from Matthew today that God fulfilled that promise. Christians do not have a blind faith. What I mean when I say that is that we don't have an unreasonable faith. We have very good reason to believe the things that God has told us. It makes sense to trust in the God who has promised things like a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, when he then actually did that. It makes sense to trust in a God who makes specific promises and then actually fulfills them. And of course, the promise that you heard today is the beginning of the most important fulfillment of them all. We have very good reason to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ. Many, many, many other Christs have come. There have been many false prophets through the ages. There are still false prophets now. Many people have come and claimed that they are the Christ, that they are Jesus. Some of them have even promised that they would be resurrected from the dead. But only one of them actually rose from the dead. Only one of them actually followed through on the promise that he and his Father had made to us. Jesus proved that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, that he is the Savior when he rose from the dead after being crucified on the cross for the sins of the entire world. And in doing so, he revealed to us the character of our God. Our God is a person who follows through on his word. Our God is a person who is trustworthy. Our God is a person who keeps his promises. Our God proves that Joseph's faith in the word of the angel, in the prophecy that he received from that angel, from God, was reasonable. And in so doing, he proves that your faith in this Christ is reasonable as well. Trust, therefore, in the God who fulfills his promises. Don't go after the false prophets who simply tell you what you want to hear, but then don't follow through on the promises and prophecies that they make. I don't know if you've noticed this. This is how the false prophets work. They tell you exactly what you want to hear in order to make you feel better. But then before long, you start feeling bad again. And frequently, what will the false prophet tell you? Oh, you didn't believe hard enough. You didn't believe strong enough. It's your fault that it didn't work. That is not what God tells us. Do not go after the false Christs and the Messiahs who have promised salvation, but don't keep their promises. Again, there are many, many people who have come claiming that they are the Messiah, claiming that they are the Savior, who make all of these grand promises, and then nothing. They don't follow through. You are free to trust in the God who follows through, to trust in the God who keeps his promises, to trust in the God who said that he would send a child born of a virgin and then sent a child born of a virgin, to trust in the man who said that he would die and then 3 days later from the dead, and then he died and 3 days later rose from the dead. Trust in the God who speaks the truth to you, the one who keeps his word to you and to everyone else. For he has promised that he cares for you, that he loves you. He even promised that he would die for you. And then he did. This is a God worth believing in. This is a God worth trusting. For he has proven it time and time again. He will prove it again when he returns on the last day and shows your faith in him to be true and welcomes you into the new creation with him. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.